Hey guys and gals, this is the Bills Wire podcast, and this podcast and all future Bills Wire podcasts are presented to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. We want to first just thank you for listening to this episode and hopefully all future episodes. Please hit subscribe, follow Bills Wire, check us out online, on Instagram, on Facebook, we're on Twitter at the Bills Wire, and of course the site where we post stories daily and have content up there every day so that you can get the latest information and analysis about the team. We're really excited about this podcast going forward and want to make it a must-listen and entertaining listen for you, whether you need something to and from work or you're going on a long vacation with the family in the van, or you're just at the airport waiting for your plane, whatever the case, at home, I don't know, wherever you listen to your podcast, we hope that you make this one part of your lineup as we hope to provide an entertaining listen for you. And going forward, that is our plan. Today, we have a really great guest. I want to preview that real quick. Justin Mello is the he's a couple of things. He's a Draft Wire writer, reporter, and also writes for the Titans Wire. Justin does extensive work with draft prospects. He's interviewed dozens and dozens of players and had the opportunity to interview some coaches as well as execs. Has a lot of ties to agents and just really in the know, and is a great resource for us because he got to interview Brett Vegan, the offensive coordinator at Wyoming, who of course was Josh Allen's offensive coordinator while Josh attended college there in Laramie. So we're excited to have Justin on to talk about his hour conversation and his article that he posted consequently after that interview with Brett Vegan. So looking forward to having Justin on later in this podcast. Also, joining me on this episode is fellow Bills Wire staffer, Rich Kowalski. Rich, what's going on, man?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well. The Bills are on the practice field. We got to see our first look at the rookies this past weekend, and it was pretty exciting to see Tremaine Edmonds be a monster, looking like he was a man amongst boys out there. That was very noticeable right off the bat.
Oh yeah, he's a huge guy. It's crazy. Just like, how do you even get that big? You don't see that very often.
Just like built in a laboratory or something. Just a specimen. And they were recording this on Saturday that they actually signed him. So that came out that he's now signed, and Harrison Phillips and Allen are the only two Bills who have yet, as rookies, to officially sign the rookie deals. So have him locked up for 4 years. And you know, I think we're going to spend most of today talking about Josh Allen and want to focus on him and his prospects of potentially starting week one, and we'll get into that. But just your overall thoughts, really, on what you saw from, you know, Friday, what we can glean, I guess, from any notable tidbits you took away from these rookie minicamp practices from this weekend.
I think for Allen, you know, it's you got exactly what you thought you were getting. He seems like he's the leader out there. He has a lot of energy. He has that character that, you know, they want to build a team around. And it was nice to see that out there for once. I mean, you saw that with Tyrod and other quarterbacks in the past, but it's really about a guy taking charge and a guy, you know, wanting to be out there and wanting to keep everyone motivated. Even if it's just rookie minicamp, you know, it still shows a lot about the type of person he is.
Yeah, I mean, we were lucky enough, too, to see the media able to attend the Friday practice, the first practice, and I don't know, Rich, if you were able to see live some of what was going on, but it was definitely high intensity, even the stretching drills. I mean, right off the bat, you have coaches screaming on, like, what, you know, what stretch is next. It was just, you know, high intensity, like you would expect at a football practice in general, but it was cool to see that because as fans, we don't get a lot of access into that to see what these guys do per practice, you know, each time they step out on the field. And then, you know, see Josh Allen's first pass, I think was exciting for a lot of Bills fans. We got to poke fun a little bit about him looking good in shorts and all of that too. And it was, I think, interesting to me. I don't know, you can't glean a ton from what we saw, but what I noticed was interesting is that Sean McDermott was on the hip pocket of Tremaine Edmonds. And he said so much in his pre-practice press conference too that day that he's going to start working Tremaine in the middle. And you could see pictures, you could see documentation of McDermott basically wanting him to take command of the huddle. And you know that he's going to try to get him catching up to speed as soon as possible. And then the same thing with Dable, the offensive coordinator, really just at the hip pocket of Josh Allen, correcting him, showing him. And I mean, they said that they have a plan for him, and it looks like it was immediately starting.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw him there on Friday, just everywhere he was going, Dable was going. I think it's good to see them, you know, not really like slowly get him into it. They're kind of pushing him into it. They want to get him going. They want to get him learning and processing in the way that, you know, they want an NFL quarterback to process. And it was good to see that too with McDermott on Tremaine Edmonds. I know last year he brought up something about Reggie Ragland being, you know, someone that he could see being Luke Kuechly, and you know that experiment didn't really work out. He goes on to the Chiefs, and now I think McDermott and Bean, they got a guy that they see, you know, their own Luke Kuechly in Buffalo, and that's Tremaine Edmonds. And it's good to see that both of these top picks they're taking such care with. They're taking a very strong approach. I'm sure they have a whole notebook of exactly what they want to go through each and every day. They want to hit the ground running. They don't want to wait, months down the road to really work them in a little bit. They're already getting in there and getting their hands dirty. It's nice to see.
Yeah, it was nice to see, and they definitely wanted to get started, I think, in a fairly quick pattern. I think they just want to get him up to speed as soon as possible because, right, that's going to make everybody else done better. You have a lot of new receivers that you want to mesh with. So you have the 11-on-11 stuff. I'm just curious, Rich. I think, you know, now that the draft is over, I'm curious to see kind of the I don't know how to say this, but probably like the best, like how are people gauging Josh? Like, what do they think of him now that it's like into May? Because we're in this kind of in-between period of, well, no one really on a larger scale wanted him. And now that we have him as our quarterback, just kind of sensing the pulse of fans, I think, slowly coming around to liking him and buying his jersey and getting behind him and just supporting him. It's like this interesting in-between right now before training camp and before preseason games that he's not really doing a whole lot, but just the fact that he's on the team, people are now, I think, more than accepting it, trying to get behind him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think the way fans look at it is, you know, it's like when you go to IKEA and you pick out some furniture, you get the box, and you got to get home and you got to put it together. I think that's the kind of way they see Josh Allen. They bought the product. They bought the guy that they want, that franchise quarterback. Now it's just about assembly. You know, it's about getting him up to speed, getting him ready for the NFL, ready for those progressions, for that step up. Because, you know, a lot of his knock coming out of college was that he was from a not non-major conference. He was in Wyoming. You know, who even watches Wyoming games? I don't even know if they're on ESPN much at all. But it's just about getting him up to speed. People talked about that gap between going from Wyoming to the NFL. It's not about, you know, he didn't perform well at that level. It's just about reading the defense better, reading what's going on, having a better sense, because the NFL is a lot faster than what you're going to see out there. And I think that it's promising that they're taking so much care. And I think Bills fans are starting to come around to him. They're seeing, you know, even those first couple throws, they're getting giddy about, you know, maybe he'll be week one starter. You never know. But
yeah, we'll talk about that too a little bit. But yeah, I think for sure. And then, you know, just also getting on like kind of the mental side of the game and him catching up. We're going to have a guest, Justin Mello from Draftware, on later in this episode. He had a really good interview and opportunity to catch up with Wyoming offensive coordinator Brett Vegan. So we'll get the inside scoop on kind of his mental processing and his game and how it rounded out at Wyoming a little bit later in this podcast. But yeah, I think, you know, his ceiling is so high. I mean, you could definitely see, you know, and it was noted that, you know, he had some good zip on the ball. It was really good, too, to see former Bill Jim Kelly, after his surgery, be there as well. He was obviously surrounded by media with Allen meeting him after practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, him even saying, I think, something along the lines, paraphrasing of, you know, he had good zip on the ball or looked like he threw a good ball, something like that, and had a good arm. So, you know, you kind of get that from a Hall of Famer, noticing that right away. I think his arm talent is just something that everyone notices right away. And it was good to see him too. I think if you were able to watch any of the practice highlights or see that live, his ability to move and kind of, you know, jump over bags that they were laying down and just kind of hurdle over stuff. I mean, for a big, large athlete that he is, he can move pretty quick. He's got pretty nimble feet, and that's good. And you want that as a starting point for a quarterback.
Absolutely. And you see Brian Daboll yesterday just rolling the big ball around, trying to get Josh Allen to move his feet to get in the, you know, that mindset.
Yes,
of
the
being
exercise
able to...
balls. Yep. Yes, yes, I saw. I was like, it was tough to decipher what that was at first, but then I was like, oh yeah, okay, I know those. I've seen those at the gym before, and it was interesting how they were using him, like almost trying to peg him so he had to like dodgeball to move out of the way. But no, that was good. Sorry to interrupt you, but that was awesome to see. Yeah, go ahead, continue with what you were saying.
No, it's just it's good to see them, you know, working out those little things that maybe Bills coaches or GMs in the past didn't really put enough emphasis on. You know, like EJ Manuel, you look at him and what he did when he came in here. And I think that the owners specifically, I'm sure, have made a strong emphasis on just doing it, taking it slowly, but also doing it smart. You know, doing it where you're not rushing him into it, but you're also providing him with the exact people he needs to be around, like Daboll. Daboll has a wealth of experience from being with the Patriots in the past, and then you have McDermott too out there with Tremaine Edmonds. I think it's good that it's kind of like a little boot camp for the rookies, but in another way, it's a mental boot camp as well too, where they're trying to gauge how far along they are so that they can get them ready. You know, they can have them up to speed, at least close enough to up to speed for mini camp and as well as training camp.
Yeah, because mini camp's coming around, and you kind of owe it to those veterans who come in to make sure that the rookies are at least caught up to the basics, right? You're going to install some basic stuff so that when the veterans get there, you can actually practice and not just keep teaching guys like, all right, well, you have to line up here, line up there. And that wastes a lot of time. And NFL mm-hmm. coaches, they get few opportunities now with the CBA to really work with these guys. I'm sure they want to work longer with them if they could.
Oh, absolutely.
So they don't have that opportunity. They're going to want to take advantage of it. And I think that's why all those practices are so up-tempo, and they really try to make as much as they can out of it and get as much out of it as they can. You made a good point, too, about Daboll. I think it's a really encouraging sign that Josh Allen's able to start fresh with Brian Daboll fresh here. Like, mm-hmm. if there was some leftover, or, you know, if Rick Dennison was still here, or, you know, and there was some carryover from whatever OC was here, I think that just kind of lends itself to that person having a little bit more of a bias maybe toward someone like Nathan Peterman, who they already worked with. Like, mm-hmm. it's literally like a clean slate. And that's huge, I think, for the quarterbacks going into this, if it is going to be like kind of an open competition, which I think it's going to be, mm-hmm. or, you know, or like I said, it could have been a little bit biased if you just had someone there. It's just like the fact that it's a clean slate for everybody.
Yeah, and if you look at, you know, the offense is a little further behind than the defense in terms of since McDermott and Bean have come in. The defense last year, they were able to get Hyde, they were able to get Poyer, they would have changed up a little bit. They're still a work in progress, but the offense, it's really honestly like the first year of the new offense under McDermott. Last year, it was Tyrod Taylor, leftovers, you got Calvin Benjamin come in, but you didn't really have the offense that they wanted to have. They were kind of feeling it out, seeing what was going on. The defense is a little more further ahead, but it's nice to see that they're, with the care they're taking, they're trying to get both up to speed. They're not just, you know, going through the motions where, okay, hey, this year we're not going to do very well because we have a rookie, we have McCarron, who knows what's going to happen. There's still a coaching staff and a team that are going to, you know, maybe surprise some people, maybe not, but they're going to be out there fighting every single game this year. It's not like they're going to lay down and take a year off and next year will be Allen's year. They're going to still be fighting every single week.
So what do you think? Is it an open competition when they head to Fisher this year? Will the quarterback position just be, hey, whoever's the best, your week one starter?
I think in terms of them talking to the media, I think they're not going to talk about an open competition. They're going to talk about it, you know, this is McCarron's team right now, you know, I don't think it'll be, you know,
behind closed outwardly, doors,
but behind, but yeah. behind closed doors, I think it absolutely is an open competition. I think that, you know, McCarron and Allen are going to be really, I mean, even Peterman maybe a little bit, are going to be really fighting for that number one spot. And I do think behind the scenes, this will definitely be an open competition because they, you know, say McCarron comes out there and he's not anything they expected, he's not doing well, then, you know, you have between Peterman and Allen. I think that it would be a disservice if Allen is doing great and looks like he should be out there and they don't put him out there.
Yeah, that point's been made. It would be a disservice to all the other 53 guys on the roster who would want the best quarterback on the field. And if that just happens to be Josh Allen, then just to hold him back because you want to, for better lack of term, baby him along or hold him back, that's not going to sit well probably with the locker room at all.
No, I don't think so at all. I think you, if you're in that locker room and you know that one of those guys is better than the other and the coach isn't making that decision, and do you think it's because, you know, they're trying to hold off, and that's a year of your career going down the drain possibly, and you're not going to be too happy about that. I think that the way McDermott has been is that he wants to win now. And you saw that with evidence of, you know, him putting in Peterman over Tyrod Taylor last year. He thought that gave them the best chance to win. It wasn't because he was playing favorites or anything. He was just doing what gave the team, he thought, the best chance to win. So I think if he doesn't put in Allen, you know, right. and if he's ready, then I think it would be a huge disservice, and you'd probably lose some of the guys in the locker room.
Yeah, and I don't know if he lost the locker room last year when he put Tyrod on the bench, but I can't imagine that guys like Shady and veterans on that team who kind of rallied around Tyrod would have been liking that result after Peterman came in. I mean, publicly, of course, they're going to back their coach, but you have to think that in their minds they probably questioned why on earth would they do that.
Oh, they absolutely did. I know we spoke with some receivers off the record. Just they were upset about that. They were upset that, you know, one practice, everything's normal, Tyrod's a starter, and then, you know, you come out the next practice, hey, guess what, Nathan Peterman's starting this week, so get ready. And a lot of the players weren't, they didn't really appreciate that. They didn't really appreciate it because he wasn't very open about it last year. I think it'll be a little different this year. I think that veterans like McCoy and Clay and other guys on the offensive line, I think that they'll look at it in a way where, okay, this is the guy they mortgage the future on. This is the guy that is their future. So I think they'd be less likely to be upset about that. Last year, it's a little different where you have a fifth-round guy coming in. That might upset some people. But with a guy that, you know, he's taken so high, I think that it wouldn't be as much of a disappointment to those guys if they trust that coach's decision.
I know it was mini camp and we don't really know a whole lot of what Josh Allen needs to improve on yet, but I guess just from the draft and from what we probably assume he needs to work on, what do you think will be the biggest challenge for him to start week one next going into camp?
I think a big thing is his footwork, and another big thing is just decision making. Just making the right call whether or not to, you know, squeeze a throw in there or not. I think his big thing at Wyoming was, you know, making a great play to make some space and finding a guy open, but then he's trying to throw it into triple coverage or something. I think that's a huge part of it, and I think his footwork really goes into that because you saw a lot of the time when he was at Wyoming throwing the ball like 40 yards across his body or something, getting intercepted. You can't be doing that in the NFL. You got to set your feet. You got to make sure that your footwork are in tune. And I think that goes along with decision-making too.
Yeah, that will be, I think, the hardest thing because not necessarily maybe just the footwork technique involved with that. I think that just comes with reps and hopefully that just becomes second nature for him. But you're right. I think his mentality of – he has a little Brett Favre in him in the sense that he likes to just rely on his arm a little bit more than he would like. And that – you know, you love that competitiveness in any quarterback. So I wouldn't want the Bills to completely make him like another Trent Edwards in captain check down. Like, we don't want him to not be able to use that arm as an asset for the offense. But it, I don't know, it's just such a delicate balance. I think that's what I'm most interested to see is during the preseason, in camp, how much is he checking down? How much is he just dumping it off to players over the middle or in the flat? And how often is he trying to hit the post or skinny post or deep out that could get picked and jumped by a, you know, cornerback? Is he going to be coached not to do that, or are they just going to let him go like a wild stallion that he could be, let him learn? I think that's probably the biggest thing that we'll see in camp is, wow, he just made this incredible throw. He needs to play, like, and he needs to play right away. And then maybe five throws later, he'll make that same, try that same play and get picked. And I don't know. There's a love-hate relationship with all of us on Bill's Twitter, but you're going to get people who are literally charting every throw he makes, and there's just going to be so much attention paid to him. I mean, this is unprecedented territory for a lot of fans and for people in Buffalo, because we've never had a quarterback in the modern era drafted as high as him. And we're not the New York market, but it's going to feel like that for a lot of people who follow the team pretty closely. It's just how much scrutiny this guy is going to be under in camp.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to, I mean, in New York, you have the media doing that. And here it's the fans can turn on you, you know, pretty quickly. I remember last year, Tyrod Taylor saying that, you know, when you're winning, everything's good. But when you lose, everyone wants to crucify you. You know, it's a daily thing. But I think with Allen, a big thing too is it's like trying to saddle up like a wild horse or something. You know, he has the power and everything.
Yeah, like a
wild
Mustang. Like a stallion. Yeah. Like he's just a wild horse.
It's like you got to make sure, you know, you got to have a delicate balance between keeping it in the box and allowing him to use those skills. Because if you do one extreme or the other, it's not going to work out well. If you do one extreme, you have him throwing all over the place, going nuts, you know, trying to squeeze throws in there. And then the other side is you have him being conservative, checking it down. It's going to be interesting to see, though, how they balance that. I think, you know, if he does see some time this year, I think he will rely on those veteran targets like McCoy, like Clay, where he's able to dump that off or check it down to them, just for, I think, getting that confidence up, too. I think that's a huge part of it. I think that, especially with a target like Kelvin Benjamin, too, if he does see time, I think it'll wear off pretty quickly, though. He'll be able to get into the groove because you have a big target, you have a good running back, you have a good running game. I think that it'll be a tough balance, but at the end of the day, I think it'll just figure itself out, and you know, he'll end up probably being that wild stallion.
Yeah, I thought of this before when you were going. I didn't want to interrupt you, but he did go to Wyoming, and they are the Broncos, so we probably should think we should scratch the whole stallion and wild horse and just went with like Bronco, because that's where he was, and that's actually perfect for him.
I saw that shirt going around. It was you know, it says stats are for losers, and it's a picture of of like the, you know, the Wyoming logo underneath it, and I think someone made it into like a buffalo too.
right. I think the biggest thing, at least for me, I don't know how you feel about him and his game and whatever, but for me, you know, I love stats. I think analytics are a really crucial component to the game, but I don't think it's everything. And just to keep future drafts interesting, and just to keep the whole guessing game on quarterbacks, who's going to be good, who's not, I really want him to succeed, because he would kind of debunk everything stats-wise that would be out there and give like the human interest side and fit and culture and the whole humanizing aspect of who we are as humans and like who we are as teams and how we make them up. And because I think everybody agrees that Allen, just in terms of his upbringing and his background and his underdog style, that he's a perfect fit that way for the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. And I would just like to see that kind of poetic marriage work for once, and not just have it be, well, he had a sub 60% completion percentage in college, and no one with that completion percentage, you know, at a big school, very rarely are they successful. I think for me, it would just be neat to keep that keep us all guessing and keep us all trying to work to see what is it really that makes a quarterback successful and not just have it be so black and white. I know a lot of people will just love it that way. It would make everyone's job easier, but there's no like romantic poetic side to that, and that would be sad for me.
Yeah, I think it's honestly, it's kind of funny how Bills fans in the last year have really done a 180 in terms of stats. You know, you had last year, Tyrod Taylor has these great stats. The national media is saying, well, Tyrod Taylor's amazing. Why would they bench someone like that? Look at his stats. And then you have this year where he drafts Josh Allen and his stats are crappy. National media is saying, yeah, he has terrible stats. And the Bills fans are saying, like, no, stats don't mean that much. You know, it's just interesting to see how, you know, one quarterback difference, you know, makes the fans and makes people around Allen even defend the stats in another way. That, you know, last year, Bills fans had a quarterback that had one of the best interception ratios in NFL history, and no one was really coming to the aid of him. And you have this year a guy that they drafted as more interceptions than most college quarterbacks, and his stats weren't that great, but Bills fans are coming quickly to defend him.
Yeah, and it's because he probably makes spectacular plays, and you just hope that just becomes more consistent with better coaching and better players around him. All right, now we're going to have a guest appearance here on the Bills Draft Wire podcast. This is Justin Mello. Justin's an NFL draft analyst for the Draft Wire and also part of the Titans Wire and part of that entire SMG USA Today network. He's done a couple of really good pieces, Bills-related lately, one of them being Josh Allen, which we've been talking about all day today, but we'll get to that in a moment. He is also really unique in the sense that Justin, you know, specializes in phone interviewing a lot of the athletes or coaches that are, you know, on the front lines in the NFL. He's did 71 of the potential draftees in this past class, including Levi Wallace, which we'll start with. But first, I just want to welcome to the podcast Justin Mello for joining us. We appreciate your time, man.
Oh, it's all good. My pleasure, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I just wanted to start real quickly. I know a lot of the topic for this podcast is centered around Josh Allen, but you did get an opportunity to speak with Levi Wallace, and his path to the NFL was pretty unique. And he joined the Bills as an undrafted free agent, even though he had a really good year at Alabama last year, would probably was overlooked by a lot of teams and should have been drafted just based on his production and what he did. But he's a late bloomer, so he fell to the Bills after the draft was over, signing that undrafted free agency contract. What was kind of the biggest takeaway you got in your discussions with him?
Yeah, I really liked Levi. First off, I was shocked that he wasn't drafted. I mean, I'm not really sure what the situation was there and why no one picked him up before the undrafted free agency period came into play, because this is a guy who, I mean, he walks on at Alabama. You know, we're talking about, you know, the University of Alabama, the biggest, you know, program that college football has to offer, and he earns a starting job. You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy who I thought played really well throughout last year, and I got a great impression from him. Really good kid, as you mentioned, very unique path to the NFL, you know, with the whole thing with his dad and his dad being a lifelong Alabama fan and sort of paying out of pocket so he can go to the university to even attempt to walk onto the football team. So for me, I think my favorite thing about Levi, and it's going to sound kind of cheesy, but it's his pedigree. I mean, I wouldn't underrate or underestimate a kid who's capable, you know, of walking on like that the way he did it and playing the role that he did for Alabama. I mean, I think it really says a lot about his character. It really says a lot about his work ethic, and it says a lot about his football IQ that, you know, Nick Saban saw something in him and took that chance on him. I mean, I don't know how many guys walk on him at Alabama each year. I imagine it's not many. So big fan of Levi Wallace. I thought that was a great get for the Bills. Really enjoyed my conversation with him. Extremely polite, humble kid, and I'm thrilled for him. I think he's got a good situation in Buffalo, and I expect him to make the 53-man roster over there.
Yeah, he kind of falls in line. You're not as close to the team as we are tracking them here, but it seems like the Bills are going for those underdog players, those players who have to fight in that competitive edge to kind of doubt critics. I mean, the same you could say a little bit of that with Josh Allen, you know, not highly recruited out of college. It's just like a theme that the Bills are going with here and their players. And his past is really interesting, like you said, with his father And, you know, I thought that he would be drafted as well. And so I was really – it was like a name that you almost forgot in the draft. Afterwards, you see these guys sign, and you're like, oh, yeah, like I remember him playing. And a big role with that Alabama team, obviously winning the national title. For him not to get drafted was a little surprising, at least on in their late rounds. But, yeah, I appreciate your kind of insight on there. I think one of the things that I took away from one of the questions you asked, and this is always interesting because – we hear guys at the combine getting strange questions, you know, at the whether they're just interviewing at the combine or at you know, their pro day or whatever they're meeting with teams. And one of the questions you asked him was, "What was the strangest question you were asked at the combine by a team?" And he said he didn't really think of any, but at the Senior Bowl, a team asked him what he did each hour of each day. Like, it just seems so obsessive that this team wanted to know hour by hour his plan. And you even kind of like threw in that he was laughing. And, you know, I just kind of wanted your take on, you know, that kind of exchange with him when you asked him that question. And was he just kind of, I guess, almost, you know, thought it was annoying that someone would ask him that? Or kind of what was his response to that?
Yeah, I didn't think he thought it was annoying, Jeremy. I think he kind of thought it was strange. I mean, as it is. I think he just kind of laughed it off, like, I can't believe this team is asking me this, but he sort of played along with it. And it's funny you mentioned that. Every player I interview after the combine, I always ask them what the strangest question was that they were asked, because even though it might get kind of repetitive if people kind of read all my interviews, because I will ask every single one, and I do that because, you know, a couple of guys will say, oh, I didn't get anything strange, but for the most part, I get some really, really weird responses, man. I can't even tell you throughout the last few years. Some of these guys that I've been interviewing, they always have something really interesting to say. And for Levi, that's not even the strangest thing that I've ever heard, to be honest with you. But I think his tone, he was just sort of, I wouldn't say annoyed, but again, I just think he felt it was weird, maybe a little obsessive, as you said, that they wanted to know that. But I mean, you know, when they're in that position, they know best. Levi knew best to just kind of play along and answer it for them, because really, sometimes, you know, a lot of the time they're just sort of testing your will to answer something. You know what I mean? They just kind of want to see if you feel, does he have something to hide? Does he get annoyed by some of the things that we ask him? And then they'll kind of make character judgments based on your answer. You know, they're almost more interested in your tone when you answer than your actual answer in itself. So, but I thought from what I gathered, he handled it great.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was interesting because maybe anybody in the draft class with his background, with his father being a military man and him being raised that way, like Levi would be the perfect person to answer that question because I'm sure he has a regiment hour by hour, day by day, if that's how he was raised. So I just thought that was kind of ironic that he was the one asked what he does, you know, from dusk to dawn.
For sure, yeah. I think, as you said, you know, his father having that military background, he was raised in a very disciplined household. And, you know, I wonder, you know, if they asked him because of that, or more likely it's probably just a set of questions they tend to ask maybe every other guy that they meet with. But, you know, going back to your point of the Bills building a roster, you know, of competitive underdog kind of guys, I thought Levi absolutely fits the bill. And I think for, you know, a Bills team that's probably still trying to find itself a little bit, I think it's a great idea to add high-character guys to your locker room. And that's exactly what I expect they're getting in Levi. And going back to what you said about the draft, I mean, for me, obviously I follow the draft incredibly close. It's really what I do for the Draft Wire. The entire time I thought, you know, I knew that he was still on the board. I thought it was very, very strange. For me personally, he was a top 100 player for me on my big board based on, you know, my character judgment of him and also my tape analysis. Okay, you know, his skill set as a player. So as soon as we hit like round 4 or 5, he was still like one of the top rated players on my board, and I couldn't believe that he went the whole time without being drafted. So I think the Bills got a really nice underdog on their hands, and as I said, I think he's got a great chance to make the roster.
Yeah, well, thank you for that insight on Levi. He's definitely an interesting player, and I know that we'll be monitoring his progress. He definitely has a chance to play in that secondary, who doesn't have a whole lot of depth right now. Some good guys up front, but you know, at first teams. But if he can fill in a either a nickel role or come in on sub packages or you know, just make the roster as like a depth guy, I think that'd be a first win for the Bills to get somebody like that undrafted. So just wanted to transition now to your piece with Brent Vegan, as we aforementioned when he first came on, and the title, Why Josh Allen Can Live Up to the Hype, from the man who helped build him, and that's his offensive coordinator from Wyoming, Brent Vegan. You had an hour conversation with him over the phone. Again, just like Levi, what was your kind of your just impressions? I know obviously with a coach, he's going to play up his own guys a little bit, but did he seem sincere in his answers to you with how confident he thought that Allen could transition into the NFL?
Yeah, I did feel he was sincere. You know, you're absolutely right, Jeremy. I've done a lot of these pieces with coaches, and, you know, they're always obviously going to be complimentary of their guy. But, there are some things a coach can do to tell me that they're sincere. And that happened for me with Coach Vegan after I finished recording with him. It didn't even get into the interview, obviously. But we talked another 10, 15 minutes about Josh. You know, Coach Vegan, he thanked me for what I was doing, trying to shed some light onto the person Josh is. So to me, that told me that he was very, very sincere about how strongly he feels about Josh. And, you know, as I said, he thanked me, and we talked a little more about Josh in depth after that, at that point. So I felt he was very sincere in the answers that he gave me. I really did.
Yeah, and you guys really covered pretty much everything there is to cover about him, from the mental side to obviously his physical capabilities with his arm. Was there any, I guess, trait of Josh that stood out to you more so than any other?
You're saying when I watched the tape, or when from what Coach Vegan told me?
From your interview first with Coach Vegan, was there anything that he kind of harped on more that you thought that he really wanted to stress?
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest takeaway that I would say in terms of a positive asset to Josh's game, I was really curious to know, and you know, I didn't know this previously, how much was on his shoulders at the line of scrimmage. I thought that was very important. And, you know, what Coach Vegan had told me, that, you know, in the protection game, everything was on his shoulders. You know, this is not a kid that you have to limit what you're trying to teach him. I thought that was very interesting, that Josh was responsible for the checks, you know, not only in the protection game, but he can get, you know, he had the capability to make checks from, you know, pass to run or run to run, and so on and so forth. So I thought that was really important. I think when you're talking about making the transition to the next level, that's something that Bill's offensive coordinator, I promise you, you know, Brian Daboll, he'll be very happy with that. You know, he feels like he won't have to limit what he puts on Josh's plate. That's something that pro coaches are will be very, very thankful for. At Wyoming, you know, they ran, you know, Coach Vegan mentioned a fairly sophisticated offense. Really, really important. And when I get into that Buffalo staff, who's sort of now going to be taking the reins and teaching Josh what he needs to know about this offense in order to succeed at the next level, I look at a guy like Brian Daboll, who I feel has had some success as an offensive coordinator, whether that be at the NFL level or at the collegiate level. You know, he's with Alabama most recently. And I look at Bill's quarterback coach as well, who is, I believe is new to this, or sorry, I think he's entering his second year on staff, David Culley. You're talking about a guy who's got more than 40 years coaching experience. So I think Josh is in a really, really good place with Coach Daboll and Coach Culley. And that was my biggest takeaway, is that, you know, for me, if there was, you know, my hour-long conversation with Coach Vegan, one line that I harped on immediately and I thought was the most interesting thing that Coach Vegan said was that I think it could happen for Josh a little sooner than people think. And I think it's really important that he's coming from that offense at Wyoming that's sophisticated, as I mentioned, that he had responsibility at the line of scrimmage. He wasn't babied. And I think that's going to be very important, you know, in terms of his learning curve to pick up this Buffalo offense. And it could really have a large impact on how quickly he can get onto the field.
Yeah, and I'm a big supporter of him starting sooner than I think a lot of people, at least here in Buffalo, want him to start, just because I think we're a little gun-shy of the Nathan Peterman experiment last year when he replaced Tyrod Taylor, and that didn't go so well. I mean, people want to bring Josh along slowly. They want him to, you know, learn the offense at a very slow – they just don't want him starting week one. And that's understandable, you know, for, like, all the reasons I mentioned. And then, you know, he is a rookie. But I do agree, and I was happy to see that in the article, because – his decision-making has been questioned, and the one line that he said in your piece was I don't think there's anything from an NFL decision-making standpoint at the line of scrimmage that's going to be foreign to him. And like you said, his ability to process information, his ability to check at the line of scrimmage, saying that he was able to call the run-to-run check. Sometimes it was run-to-pass or pass-to-run. It really didn't matter. He was in control of all of that. And if he can kind of already master that on-the-field general type of mental aspect of the quarterback position, I think he's leaps and bounds ahead of most rookies coming in. And I don't think a lot of people really understand that with him.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, or sorry, the best thing I should say that the Bills could do with this situation is to be absolutely honest. Don't make a decision right now on whether Josh Allen is starting week one. And obviously, I wouldn't expect them to do that. I mean, they're not going to say it publicly, but I wouldn't even do it privately either. Let's go into training camp. Let's go into the preseason. Let's not promise him one thing or the other. Let him have a legitimate quarterback competition with A.J. McCarron, and whoever is the better player should start week one. I think it would be very unfair to everyone involved if they were to make that decision prematurely. Let's see who the best man is, and let's give him the job. You know, just because he was taken, you know, number 7 overall, I think it would be a mistake for them to baby him and say, well, we took him number 7, he has to start immediately. I think that would be a mistake. I think that would be unfair. On the flip side, I think it would be equally as unfair if they were to say, well, he's not ready. We signed AJ in free agency, and he's going to be the guy. I think they need to go into camp, make it a legitimate competition, and whoever comes out on top comes out on top, and that's who should start week one.
Yeah, and that's what they publicly have already come out to say, and which is good because they're not saying, oh, he's going to sit behind AJ, who's had more starts in the league. So the door is cracked open for him if he does take that opportunity and really flourish with it. So another thing I thought was really interesting and what Allen's been criticized for a lot was obviously the completion percentage, and I don't think it's a true measure of accuracy. And neither did Vegan in his response to that, which I'm not really surprised he would say any different. But he did say something that I thought was interesting about his feet. And a lot has been made about his footwork, and maybe that needs to catch up because his upper body is very strong and he's able to just use his arm talent to get out of a lot of difficult situations. But he even said that his feet he thinks is okay. And I know that he's working on that more. There's definitely some tape to show the contrary where he is kind of not throwing with his feet set and in a firm position. But I thought that was really interesting. Did you glean anything from that? Because that's something that he's even working on with Jordan Palmer through the whole pre-draft process was his footwork. And he even said himself, you know, I got to work on my feet. So for even Vegan to say like, hey, you know, his footwork's fine. Sometimes the rush is coming into his face and he's got to move around. I thought that was pretty interesting too.
Yeah, I mean, two things I'd like to say about that. First of all, is Coach Vegan, you know, he was very honest when he said, look, regarding his footwork, it's not perfect. And he has to continue to work on how sort of, you know, how pressure affects it. That's sort of been his biggest issue. But as Coach Vegan said, and I agree, what I personally analyzed the tape from this past year versus the previous, is that it's gotten better over time, and it's something that has to continue to get better at the next level. And as you mentioned, he's been, you know, he's worked with Jordan Palmer on that. And it's also something I imagine, you know, going back to Coach Cauley, I imagine it's something Coach Cauley will really try to focus on throughout the offseason. So that would be my first point on that. Secondly, bringing up the completion percentage, I'll be honest. When I was going through, you know, when I knew that I was going to be speaking to Coach Vegan and I was going through my process of coming up with my questions, I always try to do my best. You know, as we said earlier, you know, coaches are always going to kind of go to bat for their guy and be complimentary. I always try to do my best to ask a few difficult questions. You know, I really want to, you know, put him on the spot and get as much honesty as I can. So as I was going through the process of coming up with those questions, I personally felt the most important question that I asked was about the completion percentage. You know, I put Coach Vegan on the spot and said, hey, you know, 56.2%, all his doubters point to that. And they say, look, you don't find many successful quarterbacks at the next level that were under 60% in college. So I thought that was a very important question to ask Coach Vegan. And I was very satisfied with the answer he gave me. He said, look, you know, he was honest. He said, numbers are numbers and they didn't get better over time. But he brought up a very interesting point in that piece, and it's something that I had never really thought about. And, you know, he kind of stumped me with that one, and I would like to think he stumped the leaders with that as well, is not one person ever talked about what their dip in the run game did to Josh Allen's production. Said, look, the year before, and, you know, obviously, you know, Coach Deegan being the offensive coordinator, these are the things he's going to pay attention to. You know, we average 207 yards on the ground a year ago versus 108 this year. I mean, that's a staggering difference. I mean, they ran the ball for 100 yards less per game. That's a big no-no. And he said, and it's no secret to me what a successful run game can do to a quarterback's completion percentage or even just his overall confidence. I really think for a young quarterback especially, the best thing you can do is to surround them with a successful run game. I mean, you know, I hate to use this example because I do cover the Titans more closely, but 2 years ago, or Marcus Mariota as a sophomore, he had a ton of success. You know, a big reason for that, in my opinion, was how the Titans were so successful on the ground with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. A year ago, Marcus Mariota regresses. Well, the Titans' run game wasn't nearly as good as it was a year ago. So I think that's I think that could be a really, really important aspect for a young quarterback, especially. It's another reason I sort of like the landing spot for Josh Allen in Buffalo. I think the Bills can have a very successful run game this year once again. Under you know, with obviously LeSean McCoy still being there. I mean, a year ago, talking about a running offense that averaged 126 yards per game on the ground, which was good for sixth overall in the league. If they can continue to have that sort of success on the ground, then I think Josh can be quite successful immediately.
Yeah, I think they're going to definitely try to really stress that run game with Brian Daboll. But no, I totally agree with you. And I think, too, Vegan, he couldn't quite go there, but you could tell he was hinting at it. I mean, there's so many layers to the completion percentage thing, and I think that was an eye-opener for me, too, to see that run game disparity between his, you know, between years there in 2016, 2017. That is a huge drop-off, but he also lost a couple of really good players. He lost his starting center to the NFL and his running back to the NFL a year ago. That might have been a big reason why the running game dipped too. And yeah, his overall confidence is going to struggle. And to that point with his teammates, you know, Vegan did say, like, we just weren't as talented as we normally were on the outside with our receiving core as well. And he's not going to throw his entire team under the bus, his offense under the bus, but you could tell he was kind of feeling for Josh that he didn't have the weapons around him.
Yeah, I got the same read out of Coach Deegan that you did from reading it, because I think there's one line specifically where he says maybe we didn't have the same level of talent that we had the year before. I think that's obviously very telling for him to say. As you mentioned, it kind of felt like he was going there without going there, perhaps. And he mentioned that as sort of being one of Josh's leadership traits. Like, you know, Josh knew that statistically it wasn't going to look as good as it did the year before. Meanwhile, he had so much riding on the line individually, obviously, with, you know, his draft stock, knowing he was going to get a chance to go to the next level, but not knowing if that was going to be at number one overall. You know, he could have fallen out of the first round entirely, but, you know, Coach Vegan had mentioned that it really showed him a lot about Josh as a person and Josh as a leader, that he knew that it wasn't going to look the same, but he wanted to do whatever it takes or whatever it would take to win ball games. And as I mentioned, you know, I think they were 8-3 with him as a starter, and he missed three games. And Coach Vegan would like to think they would have been 11-3 if he played those other three games. So I think that was a big thing for me. A big takeaway is the type of leader and teammate that Josh is. And when you're that kind of person, especially at the quarterback position, it's not going to take you long to win over the respect of your teammates.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we don't want to give too much of it away. I want people to go read that piece, Bills fans who haven't seen it to go check it out. Justin, we really appreciate your time. Where can people go find you on Twitter? And then subsequently, where can they find that article?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JustinM_NFL. You know, I'm always tweeting my stories out from there. That article specifically can be found on the Draft Wire, whether they search Josh Allen's name, or they can even, if they find any story of mine, they can click on my name, and it has literally my history of all my stories on there. So that they can find that on the draftwire.usatoday.com. Again, you can follow me at JustinM_NFL. A ton of good stuff on the way. I'll be interviewing, just as I did with Coach Vegan, I'll be interviewing a ton of coaches over the next little bit. Coaches who, you know, coach some of the top prospects in this draft. Josh is the first in the, you know, Josh Allen and Coach Vegan were the first that I did in what's about to be a very long series of coaching interviews as we sort of recap this 2018 NFL draft. And then I'll be getting into 2019 rather quickly, interviewing some of the top prospects for the 2019 draft. So, you know, I do draft year-round, 28 to 24-7, 365 thing for me, 366 on the leap year. So that's where they can find my work.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to ask you before we let you go what actually when you get started for 2019. It seems like you already have plans to do that. So awesome.
Yeah, usually around June, July, I kind of start getting into my interviews, you know, a little bit more sporadically, but I'll start interviewing some of the 2019 prospects probably around June, July. And I'll be, you know, I consistently pump out work throughout the year. You're never going to catch me on hiatus. But once we hit, you know, it's far away, but once we hit, I'd say around February, that's the sweet spot for me where it really starts, where you might even catch me publishing an interview every single day with one of the prospects. So that's where they can catch me.
Perfect. I know Bills fans will be definitely looking for first round, second round grades on wide receivers. We need some weapons over here for Josh Allen going forward in the future. So we'll keep up the great work, Justin. We appreciate you again coming on the Bills Wire podcast with us, and keep up the great work, like I said, and we'll chat soon.
The pleasure was all mine. Take care.
Yeah, no, it was great to talk with you today, Jeremy. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited to see what Allen can do in, you know, the voluntary OTAs and training camp coming up.
Yeah, no, I think the Josh Allen talk will continue because he is the 7th overall pick and Buffalo has him. And
it's the chosen one.
Yeah, and he's supposed to lead this team to Super Bowls. I mean, that's why you draft someone that high. So,
hey, Bill Polian said it has to be true.
He did say that. He did also say that it would be 3 to 4 years down the road, which I don't know. Could we wait that long? That seems like a lot. Like, I wanted a little bit more immediate than that, but
I mean, we've waited about 50 something years, maybe 60 years since the last championship. So,
yeah, no, it was a good interview too with Justin. We appreciate having him on this episode to talk a little bit more Josh Allen with his really good hour long conversation with offensive coordinator Brett Vegan from Wyoming. So, for the next episode, make sure to subscribe. We are on Apple iTunes, and you can always catch the episodes, too, on billswire.usatoday.com, our site. So, for Rich Kowalski, I'm Jeremy Uhas. We appreciate your listenership, and please start sharing, spreading the news that we're here. We'll be doing more podcasts. Yeah, we'll be doing more podcasts more often, especially with camp starting up really in a couple months, you know, a few weeks. We'll be really ramping up a lot of great topics ahead, and we're looking forward to providing that content for you all. So thanks for listening.